Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
The Lord, brothers and sisters, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we are so happy to have each and every one of you all. Today's review is about the heavenly sanctuary. So as you all get ready for the review, we're going to have a word of prayer. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and whose we are. I thank you, Father God, that we have been born again by incorruptible seed, and therefore we can declare, according to 1 Peter 1:23, that we are your children because we've been born again. And because Ephesians 1:7, Father God, and Hebrews 9:14, you have forgiven us of our sins. And because of that, Father God, we're free. We're free because we're a new creation. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new. And we believe in your temple because we are the temple. You live in us, Father God, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. So I thank you, Father God, for what your word affirmed that we are and who we are. And for that reason, Father God, we're more than conquerors. We conquer the things of this life. It means nothing to us. I thank you, Father God, you sealed us with the promise, hallelujah, of a Holy Ghost, praise God. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we were crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, because Christ was risen, we are risen. I thank you for it. Give you honor, give you glory. I thank you, Father God, that people that are listening will understand this message and will adapt to it in Jesus' mighty name, because 1 John 5:18, those that are born of the world, they overcome the devil. They overcome the things of this world. Those that are born of the word of God, then they become fellow citizens in the household of God. I thank you for the revelation knowledge. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. And for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, we started out Monday, of course, talking about our foundational scripture. So let me go there, first of all, in the book of Hebrews. Somebody said Hebrews. It was a coffee thing, they said. But now, baby, the book of Hebrews. We talked a little bit about it, but I don't think with the review we're going to get into it. Those that really want to be more knowledgeable, you're going to have to be in the study with us when we talk about the book and what it means, where it came from, so forth. But on the review, we're going to try to cover most of some of the high points we touch on this week. But the foundational scripture is found in Hebrews 8:1-2. It reads like this. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such a high priest who has sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And we talked about how essential this is, that this was the main point, that we have a high priest now. You have to ask yourself, is this real to you? Do you have a high priest or do you have a pastor? Something to think about. Do you have a bishop or do you have a high priest? Think about it. And then are you worshiping in the true sanctuary? Now, that was built by God, not by man. I'm not talking about that building, that mortar and clay stuff you get in there every week. I'm talking about the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, the true sanctuary, the one where our high priest is at. Remember, we do have a high priest, okay? Don't want you to get it twisted, brothers and sisters. A lot of times people, they don't acknowledge Christ as high priest. They want him to be Lord. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you have to realize that Jesus is the high priest. And you got to start making your offering to him. This is part of this new covenant that God has made with us. This is what had been written in the book of Isaiah. that the Lord will put his laws in our minds and in our hearts. He said, then I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people or my children. And you know what? They won't need each other to teach, and they won't have to go to school. All they got to do is be my children. I'll show them who I am. Woo, I just think that's awesome. Man, you know, the more we get into the foundational scripture, the more I love it. I just love that, man. That foundational scripture is awesome. Hebrews 8 teach us that there is a tabernacle available. There is a sanctuary available. This is what God pitched and not man. Are you part of that? It teaches us that there is a high priest. There's a priest and then there's a high priest. Are you with that? Or are you mainly with the physical tabernacle? Are you with the one that God made an example, a shadow of the one that we're supposed to be in right now? You remember Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. He said to Moses, make all things according to this pattern. Show to thee in the mountain. Remember when you was in the mountain? Make it just what you saw, make it. Because today is coming when Christ shall come here. And he's going to obtain his position as high priest, which has a more excellent ministry. Not only that, he is going to be the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant, you know, going to church was the thing, had been faultless, then should there be no place sought for the second one. But he found five fault. Because he said, the day is coming, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Man, I wish I had time. Isn't that beautiful? He had made this covenant, not according that he made with their fathers or with our fathers or with their father's fathers in the day when he took them and led them by the hand. He said, no, I'm not going to operate like that anymore. You know, I had showed it to them and put it in stone so they could see it through the optical nerve, regardless of who they were. They just had to be able to see through those eyes. He said, I'm not doing this one like that. This one is going to be spiritual. This one is I'm going to put my law in their inward part, which is their heart, and I'm going to put it in their mind. That's what a new covenant going to be, not a physical covenant. So we talked a little bit about that Monday, bless God. Then we talked about some of the things that we was going to talk about. One of the things that we talked about was the high priest. But before we get there, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's about believing. Uh-huh. So you have to be a true believer in the priesthood. You have to be a true believer in the priesthood. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 5, and verily they are those, the son of the Levite, who receive the offering of the priest, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. that is of their brethren, through they come out of the loins of Abraham. Well, the tithes were those that live by the law. We don't live by the law. We're living under grace and truth. But just to show you that there have been a priesthood already, he says, if there be verification whereby the Levitical priesthood or under the people received the law, what further need were there any of another priest to rise after that order of Melchizedek, and not by called after the order of Aaron? I just want to tell you a little bit about the priesthood. We talked a little bit, and on next week, we're going to talk a lot about the priesthood. For the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity a change of the law. See, every time they would change the priesthood, it was necessary to change the law. Well, how about this? When Christ became priest, there was no need to change no law. The Bible says, but this man, because he continued ever, forever, having an unchangeable priesthood. You know why? Because it was not based on the law, but it was based on spirit and truth, grace and truth. See, had nothing to do with the law. It couldn't fulfill anything. It wouldn't work. So the point being is, listen, brothers and sisters, that according to 1 Peter, think about the second chapter, he said, ye are also a lively stone, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual priesthood. Spiritual. We're to offer up spiritual gifts. We're to hold on to our confession because that's what we offer up to Christ. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And trust me, brothers and sisters, it's marvelous. It's awesome. This light is off the chain. So that's what we've been called to. And God expects nothing less than us to answer the call. And I'm going to give you all a tip, too. Anytime anything dealing with the law, it doesn't concern you. That's of the Old Testament. People don't know this, but tithing is of the Old Testament. Christ fulfilled all of that. Not one part of it, but all of it. I'm going to show y'all that in the Bible, too, because I was discussing this with somebody the other day. I said, well, if it's the law and Christ fulfilled it, why are we trying to pacify the law? Why? It doesn't make sense. Paul called them, O foolish Galileans, who bewitch you that you should not obey the truth, before whom I, Jesus Christ, who have been evidently sent forth to be crucified for us. Why are you going to be stupid? Because, I mean, I looked at that word foolish, and I saw that it meant crazy. I saw that it meant stupid. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand this, but he called them foolish. Anybody that's trying to live by the law is foolish. I'm going to tell you two reasons, and I'm going to move on. First of all, if you're trying to live by the law, you're not living by faith. Faith came before the law, brothers and sisters. Everybody didn't operate like that, but he did. The Bible says that Christ had redeemed us from this curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So if you're part, Christ became the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believed. Not to everybody. Let me back up. Not to everybody, but for those that believe. The Bible says no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The Bible says that the just shall live by their faith. The law, keeping a bunch of rules and regulations, brothers and sisters, that's all goes on in an organized church, in an organized sanctuary. They got order, and the first thing they're going to tell you is about their orders. This is how it has to be. Because all they know is a bunch of rules and regulations, because that's what they, everything that they do has been birthed from that law thing. So the law had to get out of the way. The law code had to be removed. So when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. Now, you're going to keep God's truth. You know why? Because his spirit lives in you. You don't need a bunch of laws. The only one leave laws is people. It's about two people who need laws. People that are ignorant and people that don't have laws. But if you have a law, which we have one, that we live by the law of the spirit of life, that's what we live by, then we don't need the other law. Christ fulfilled the law of sin and death. So we're no longer living by that. We're living upon the grace and truth. When it's far much better, brothers and sisters, to live upon the grace and truth. That's how you want to live. You don't live upon this other stuff. Trust me, you don't. What we were saying is that in the book of Hebrews, we're going to go there. That was one of the one of the scriptures that we talked about in Hebrews 3. Let's go there. Hebrews 3. I think it was verse 1. You got to see this. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That's spiritual talk, brothers and sisters. Holy brothers, what makes you holy? Because you're partakers of the heavenly sanctuary. Who are those people? I'm glad you asked. Those people are people who part of Hebrews 8. That's who they are. Those that are part of the high priest who is sit on the right-hand side of the majesty in heaven. Those are holy brethren because they're in Christ. And that's what makes you holy. Because he's the minister of the heavenly sanctuary. Yeah. I was trying to find my scripture here in Hebrews 3. I guess it's over here. Y'all bear with me here. We're going to continue to pray for Pastor Bill. Yes, Lord God, we just lift up before you that she her voice is being restored even as we speak. Father God, I just thank you for it. I praise you for it. The Bible says, wherefore, holy brothers, partakers of a divine heavenly calling. What makes you partakers? Are you partakers of the heavenly calling? What is the heavenly calling? Go to Hebrews 8, man, so you can see this thing. I want you to see the heavenly calling is the same one as 1 Peter 2:5 talks about. Ye are a lively or living stone, or built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, same word. Offer up spiritual sacrifice. Yeah. Same one. The exact same one. To offer up spiritual sacrifice. Hebrews 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat to offer. And speaking of offering, what do you offer? Are you offering up spiritual gifts? Here's a scripture. We were talking Monday too this week about what we're supposed to be offering. What we're supposed to be offering is what God is seeking for. God is seeking for true worshipers. Look, brothers, these are not my words. In the book of, I think it's Luke, or John 4. In the book of John 4, in about the 23rd verse, I know y'all know the story of the woman of the well and the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. I'm pretty sure y'all familiar with that story. How she had came. And this was a Samaritan. Isn't that strange how all through the Bible God telling us to help the Samaritan? Helping the Samaritan was a big deal. Luke 10. Take the Samaritan and put it on your coat. Take the Samaritan and take it to the inn house. Wherever need. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus told this Samaritan woman a key to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me. Because, you know, y'all worshiping because of this mountain, and Jews are worshiping in Jerusalem for salvation and all that. That's what y'all do. He says, but the Father, because some of y'all think it's a big deal because our Father worship in this mountain and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me now. The hour when ye shall neither in these mountains, yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Yet worship ye know not where. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But Jesus says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, the Bible says, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen, brother and sister, it's a must. See, when you understand this must, then you're going to go to every length of your cable toe to understand this and to explain to people what this word must mean. This word must is a command request to, like a commandment that you, the must is, it's just an urgent. It's an order. It's something you ought to do by any means necessary, because you're compelled by physical necessity. It doesn't matter. You're compelled to worship. You're required. Nobody's going to make you, but you're required. Even if it means to use force, you are required. You're obligated. Whatever. There are some places here in America, you're obligated to take the vaccination. If you're going to play in any sports and you're going to be in some of these arenas, you are required. It's a must. That's the law. That's a must, that you take this vaccine. They don't care which dose you take, but you got to take one of them. It's a must. Well, that's what this word must means in terms of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You're required, either by custom or by moral conscience, or you're required. It has been determined by God that you are to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's nothing that you're going to reason. Forget it. You shall do this. It is the law. And if you're going to go to the next level, you have to worship God in spirit and in truth, because you won't get the truth if you don't get in the same mindset that God is in. It's essential. The word must, it's essential. I could think of some other words that probably would relate to must. I'm sure there's other words. But when I think about it, I think of must as something you ought to do, something that's needed to. I think of the word shall. I think of the word necessary, something necessary. I was just trying to think, because I want you to understand, it's necessary, brother and sister, that you worship God in spirit and in truth. Then it's necessary you know what spirit and what truth is. It's unconditional. There is no, well, Lord, no, it's necessary. And you can do that. You can do that on your sick bed. So it goes beyond what I could even try to convey. But it's necessary. It's necessary, present tense, past tense, all persons must. Well, I used to do that. No, you have to do that now. You are commanded by your commander in chief to worship in spirit and in truth. That's what he's looking for. Sorry if that messed you up, that blew your bubble. But when you understand how important it is that we must worship in spirit and in truth, then you're going to understand. And God said this now. He's saying my word. God said now, if you love me, this is what it's all predicated on. If you love me, you'll keep my word. You'll act on my word. The people who love the word of God will keep it. They will do it, and they will act upon it. John 14:21. In John 14:22-23, God said, God will love you and make his presence known. You get to know him. If you love his word and keep it, do it. Because John 15:10 says, keep the commandment and abide in my love. You'll live in his love because you live in his word. James 1:21 says, to love the word of God, you have to lay apart all filthiness, superfluousness, and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your very soul. And 1:22 says that if you love the word, you'll be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. See, you can be a hearer only. We got a lot of hearers only, but they won't do it. They admire it. Oh, God, do they ever admire the word of God? But they won't keep it. They won't do a 1 John 5:3 that says, keep God's word is not hard. They want to make excuses. God said to the church in Revelation, he said, I know your works. I know you got a little strength. But you kept his word. And you have not denied his name. So for that reason, God said, I'm going to honor that. But brother and sister, you're not going anywhere until you start understanding the importance of loving the word of God. It's a must. Another scripture we touched on this week, I think it was in Hebrews 14. We'll talk a little bit about that one. Hebrews 13 and 14 or 14 and 13. Let me see here. I think it must have been Hebrews 13. Was it chapter 8? Y'all bear with me here for a second. I will go on. Anybody ever get some writing, you can get caught up in it. But I think it was in Hebrews 13. And let's see if this is the 14th verse. Here have we no continuous city, but we seek one to come. Those that are seriously about living in the heavenly sanctuary, you don't see a city that you're pleased with. But you know what? You do seek one to come. That's why we hold fast to our confession. That's why we offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is to with the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's why we do this. And that's why we offer up sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruits of our lips. We be giving thanks to God and his name. But we do good and to communicate, forget not for what he done for us, how he brought us, how he made us. And let me tell you, it becomes your will. It becomes your desire to please the Father. And one other thing I wanted to touch on before we dismiss. Because on Friday, thank God, we had Evangelist Faith on, and her message, and I thank God for her coming on. I wanted her to show, and I was hoping that she'd share about the law and about tithing. I didn't want to put pressure on her and ask her to share that. I wanted her to be led. And she said, she took us to the book of Luke, and so I think I'll go there. so everybody get a good understanding of what was said. In Luke, let me find this Luke, I think it was Luke 6, 37 through 45. So we're going to read this because I want everybody to understand what she said. Luke 37, he's telling us to be merciful. And as your heavenly Father was merciful unto you. Then he says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressing down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet with, wherein it shall be measured to you again. And he that speak a good parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either hath cast shall thy brother, let me pour out the malt that is in thine eye. When thyself behold not the beam in thy own eye, thou hypocrite, cast not first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to put out the mote in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bring not forth corrupt fruit, either doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree that known by his own fruit, for of the thorns men do gather figs, and not of a flammable bush gather their grapes. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, and the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and hath my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Well, she stopped at the 45th verse. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, I know some people may have a problem with this, but personally, I don't. I don't have a problem with judging. Oh, but the Bible says, judge ye not, for ye shall be judged. Well, if you're living a clean life, a good life, why? What's the problem? What's the problem? If you spiritual, you judge all things. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture. See, I'm going to be merciful to those that need mercy, because I want God to show me mercy. He said, judge not, or ye shall not be judged. Well, I'm going to judge because I want God to judge me. I'm going to condemn those things that are wrong because I want God to condemn the things that are wrong in my life. I ain't trying to hide Jack. I ain't trying to hide nothing. I'm not afraid to judge. See, the people that are afraid to judge is people who've been bamboozled into thinking, oh, God, if you judge, you're going to be, no, God's going to judge right. He saw I've done good. He's going to do good toward me. That's who God is. I don't know if y'all heard that part or not, but that's what I heard. Yeah. See, you can't be blind and trying to lead somebody. The blind can't lead the blind, brothers and sisters. Can't do it. But if your eyes have been open, you want to show somebody. You know, I'm not above God. I'm not above Christ in no way, mean, shape, or form or fashion. But because the Lord perfect, he says, you know what? I want you to be perfect. So you know what I want you to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the mote out of your own eyes first. And once you do this, then you're able to help somebody else. You can say, hey, look here. This is this and this is that. See, you're able to do that. But when you don't do that, you still got the mote in your own eye. But when you pull the mote out of your eye, then you're able to help somebody else. But if you don't never do this, the scripture is absolute. Well, it's right anyway. It's right either way if you listen to it. But you got to hear from the Spirit, brother and sister. How can you go cast the mote out of somebody else's eye when you got a big beam in yours? Clean yours out first. Oh, praise God. Let me get mine cleaned out. Why? Why you want to cleanse yours? So I can help my fellow man. But see, Satan put so much fear in people. Oh, you can't judge. You can't judge. You, man, if you judge, you're, no, wait a minute. Let me be clear here. You hadn't read 1 Corinthians 2 yet. Because, see, I don't see things in the flesh. I see things in the spirit. And because I see things in the spirit, I'm able to judge of the spirit. See, when you clean up your house, you don't have that problem. Only people have a problem with that scripture that they don't want to judge. No. God have given us the spirit of discernment. Can I really rock your boat? You're going to see things like God see it. You ain't finna look over it. You ain't going to say, oh, well, now an apple ain't an apple. It's an orange. Now, wrong is wrong and right is right. And that's going to be your judgment. Now, if you're in the flesh, listen, brothers and sisters, you won't get this revelation. See, because your eyes won't see it. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, what knoweth a man but say the things of the spirit of a man? Whatever's in that man is what he knows. That spirit, that's all he knows. If it's condemnation, he's going to teach condemnation. If it's love, he's going to teach love. If it's righteousness, he's going to teach righteousness. Whatever's in him is what he's going to teach. So what you have to do is get the old out and put the new in. That's what the scripture said. What knoweth the man, the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? So even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Know ye not, you have received not the spirit of the world. You don't know this? You don't know you don't have the spirit of the world, but you received the spirit of God? Why did he show? And you received it freely. Why did he give you that spirit? I'm glad you asked. So that you can see things through the spirit. You didn't receive the spirit of the world. I hope you did. I hope you receive the spirit of God so you can judge the things of God. Because God is going to speak those things not in words which man's wisdom teach, but he's going to speak them which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man won't receive this stuff. Because the spirit of God is in it. And because the Spirit of God is in it, it's foolishness to them. And they won't know it. So, yeah, they'll say, oh, man, you can't judge. I can judge. You know why? Because I have the Spirit of God living in me. And my judgment is going to be of God. The Bible says, but he that is spiritual, let me say this again, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For what have known, or who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who know God's mind? So he can instruct you into say, what is right, what is wrong, what you can do, what you can't do. The Bible said, well, we have the mind of Christ. So our judgment is predicated on the things of Christ, on the word of God. That's what it is. Well, I'm going to take the next 5 minutes. Anyone that would like to have any comments, I know I went way beyond where I wanted to go, but I'm just excited, man. Don't tell me you love the word of God and won't keep it. Don't tell me you love the word of God and you want to teach condemnation. See, if you love the word of God, it's some good things are going to happen. He's going to come unto you. Jesus and the Father is going to come, and they're going to make their presence known, and they're going to say, I'm he who was dead, and now I'm alive. The Spirit is going to tell you that, and you will know it, because you will know about the fruit. You know it, and you won't be around here waiting on him to come. You'll be with him. You don't have to wait on him to come. You're with him. You're with him. People are, well, I'm waiting on Jesus to come. Quit it, I say. Stop being foolish. He's already came back, and he's already made his abode with us, because that's what his word promised. And if you don't know this, it's because you're not in that part of the word yet. That's what John 14:22-23 says. We will love. And we will come to you, and we will make our presence known to you. That's what we're going to do. If you love, if you just keep my word, you'll see it. But if you don't keep my word, you won't see me. The only people going to be able to do this is the people that keep the word of God. That's why you got to put away all this, well, this is my child. Oh, this is what they used to do. Oh, I can't hear. Yeah, put all that crazy stuff away and say the word of God is true. Above all of that. And then, like James 1:21 says, you'll depart from all that filthiness and superfluousness and knottiness, and you'll receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your very soul. You let that stuff go. You say there's nothing more important than the word of God, not even my children. Because when you leave it, it ain't going to be your children no way. Yeah. Yeah, they ain't going to be your friend when you leave here. So you need to make sure you're in tune with God. Because when you leave here, that's who you're going to have to deal with. Matter of fact, it'd be nice if you deal with him now before you get up out of here. So you know where you at. You know you have eternal life. And, well, I hope it. No, you don't need to hope no eternal life. You need to know this stuff. That's the track you need to be on. I know I got eternal life. Because I'm living according to what the word of God says. I put away all filthiness, superfluousness, and knottiness, and I've received the word of God. Yeah. I put the word of God above everything. Mama, sister, brother, job, government, law. Some people won't put the word of God above the law. They got the law above the word of God. That's why they won't worship Christ in the sanctuary. Because they ain't put the word of God above that mess. When you put the word of God above that, you're not going to have no problem with the word must worship him. You'll know that it means You're going to keep it. It's a request from the commander-in-chief. You've been required to do this. You must, as an urgent, as an order, that I must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm obligated to do this. I don't have no say-so in the matter. It's beyond the law. It's beyond customs. I got to do it. I got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way I know how to do that is through his word. See, I don't know no other way to do that. I know I ain't going to no building. That I know. And when I die in the eyes of man, do not take me to some stinking building. Take me right down there, wide open. Anybody have any scripture they want to share with somebody alive, do that. Other than that, going to throw that corpse in the ground. It's going to mean anything to me. See? Because my worship is in spirit and in truth. God really truly got me. He has me. And I want you to know that he wants you to have your eternal life. That's why we must worship in the spiritual sanctuary. That's what Christ said, man. How you going to be Lord and you won't let him, you won't worship him in the spiritual sanctuary? Anybody else have anything else? Just press one. Hallelujah. Press one. Okay. Well, we're going to continue, like I said earlier, we're going to continue to pray for Pastor Dale, that her voice is being recovered, being restored, brought back to its original. Matter of fact, even better. God's going to allow her to speak more clearly now. She's already speaking clearly, but it's going to be better now. It's going to be in a more excellent way. And it's going to be with authority. Father God, I thank you right now for Pastor Bill voice is coming back. You rejuvenating it. You're restoring it. You're making it better than it were before. That when she'll speak your oracles, Father God, she'll speak and man will hear. And they'll notice it's coming from you, Father God. I thank you for it. Now, everybody agreed, said amen. And amen and amen.